Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Yevamos Daf Nun Gimel. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you are not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our homepage. If you are already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief 4-minute introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the marked Daf Gemara before the shiur. If you wish to be in touch with us, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. We begin today's shiur 15 lines from the top of Daf Nun Gimel. The Gemara quotes a line from the Mishnah on Daf Nun Amud Aleph, Cholatz v'osa maimer v'nosan get u'boal. The Mishnah goes on to say, Ein achar chalitza klum, that once chalitza is done, so then nothing else takes hold. In other words, if after chalitza is done, there is an attempt to give the chalitza money, Maimer, Kiddushei Maimer, it does not have to be dealt with. Or if after chalitza is done, a get is given to the chalitza. That get has no halachic effect. The Gemara asks, V'nisni nami ein achar bia klum. Why doesn't the Mishnah also state that after the act of intimacy is done? Let us say, just for an example, there are two yivmin, and there is one yivama, that is, Reuven died, leaving Shimon and Levi, and Shimon does yibum, is bi'ah, with the widow of Reuven. She becomes his wife. So then if Shimon offers her money, let us say, maimer, that has no effect. It's like giving money to a strange person as a gift. It doesn't have any halachic effect. So why doesn't the Mishnah teach that as well? Abaye v'Rava tanu. In fact, Abaye and Rava teach in their version of the Mishnayos, Ein achar bia klum. Now, there's a note in Rashi, a few lines down from here, tanu, tani, ein la'achar bia klum, v'lo tzorech l'misni nami, ein la'achar chalitza klum. In their version, they have, in fact, there is nothing that follows bia. They don't teach in their version of the Mishnah, ein la'achar chalitza klum. They came with the tana, ein la'achar bia klum. Once you teach that after bia, there is nothing else that takes effect, hu hadinami di ein achar chalitza klum. It is true as well for there is nothing after chalitza. The lishna klilahu lemisni chada o bia o chalitza, and it's simply a form of, let's say, klila is literally light speech or short version of teaching both points. All you need to do is teach one, and I figure out the other. Now, our Tana didn't do that, though. Our Tana didn't teach Ein Achar Bia Klum. So the Gemara goes on, V'tana Didan, the our Tana who said Ein Achar Chalitza Klum, even though Bia was featured in the Seifa of the Mishnah, as Rashi says, nevertheless, our Mishnah felt it important to teach that once chalitza is done, nothing takes hold, because hatoras yevoma l'shuk adifa leg. Adifa means it was more important for him or better for him to emphasize that element or that instrument that frees the yevoma to marry anyone she wants, as the word l'shuk indicates. L'shuk literally is the marketplace. We continue now with a quote from the Mishnah that continues on to Daf Nun Omid Beis. In other words, the Mishnah started the beginning of the Perek at Nun Omid Aleph, and this is now a quote from Nun Omid Beis. Echod Yevoma Achas, Echod Shtei Yevomos. Whether it be one Yevoma to one Yavam, or two Yevamos, where Reuven died, leaving two widows and one brother, Yavam Echad. Namely, the rules of the Mishnah apply in all cases equally. Before we go further in the Gemara, there's a marking scheme that continues till Omid Beis, and you'll note on the side under the Mivneh, the trapezoid, when it appears, it highlights the expression or the idea that Masnisin Delo, that our Mishnah is not like so and so. So here, the Gemara says the Mishnah is not like Ben Azai. On Omid Beis, you'll see at another point after the Gemara quotes the Mishnah that our Mishnah is not like Delo Ki Hai Tano, and it goes on to say which Tana that is. So here we have Masnisin Delo Ki Ben Azai. According to the Chachomim in our Mishnah, there is a possibility of maimer achar maimer when you have two women and one yavam, two widows and one yavam. Which means that if Reuven dies leaving two widows, widow one and widow two, and he also is survived by his brother Shimon, Shimon gives money to widow number one. According to the Chachamim in the Mishnah, if Shimon were to give money to widow number two, that would take effect, and he would have to give a divorce document to widow number two as well to undo the money bond that he had presented to her. Now, these are, if you're a first-time listener, we should tell you that these are concepts that we've been dealing with at length since the beginning of this parak. So we're not going to be re-explaining all of these ideas in detail so as not to bore those that are already familiar. But we continue in the Gemara. Our Gemara says that Masisin Delo Ki Ben Azai, our Mishnah is not in accordance with Ben Azai. Desanya Ben Azai Omer, Yesh Maimur Achamayamur B'Shnei Yivmin V'Yavoma Achas. There is a possibility of a second Maimur taking hold when upon Reuven's death he left two brothers, Shimon and Levi, and one widow. However, V'ein Maimur Achamayamur B'Shtei Yivomos V'Yavom Echad. Now here you see we dashed underline this because this is the case that needs to be emphasized, that according to Ben Azai, if Reuven died leaving two widows and is survived only one brother, once again according to Ben Azai, Shimon used up all his mimer power with the first widow. Nothing would take hold if he gives money to the second widow. Our Mishnah disagrees. We continue again with another quote from the Mishnah, Ketzad, Maimer Lezu, Vechule, and the Vechule means etc. What we want to focus on is what is that etc. that's being quoted here, and it's a case of there was Maimer Bezu, Vecholatz Lezu. He gave money to one widow and did Chalitza with the second widow. Harishonot Tzricha Get. This is found, by the way, in our Mishnah, five lines from the top of Daf Nun Omid Beis. You'll notice a new marking, and we feature this on the side under the Mivneh, the Lemo Misayea expression. Let us say that our Mishnah supports, and you'll see in the course of the Gemara how there are attempts made to support different Amoraic opinions based on information in the Mishnah. So, according to our Mishnah, if Maimer was done with one of the widows, Chalitza done with the second widow, so the first widow will need a get to undo the effects of the money that was given to her. Lema Messiah le Lishmuel, skip the brackets for a moment, Utyufta de Rav Yosef. Can we say that our Mishnah supports Shmuel and refutes Rav Yosef? Now we have to know what each one said in order to make sense of this. So in the brackets, the Gemara quotes Shmuel's opinion, and then we'll try to see how our Mishnah would support his point of view. As far as what Rav Yosef holds, we will resort to Rashi for elucidation on what Rav Yosef's position was, that our Mishnah would seemingly present a problem. So what did Shmuel say? So we read in the brackets, the Omar Shmuel, Cholatz Labalas Maimer, Lo Niftura Sarasa, that if a man, Reuven and Shimon are brothers, and Reuven died, leaving two widows, if money were given to one of the widows, and then chalitza was done with her, with the one that received the money, that's a chalitza psula, it's a weakened chalitza, because the chalitza doesn't sever all bonds that had been formed, because money had been given to her. Therefore, the chalitza done with the balas ha-maimer doesn't release the tzora, the co-wife, the second widow. Well, in our Mishnah, we see that point, that even though chalitza was done with the second widow, a get still was necessary to undo the maimer of the first. So, our Mishnahs would seem to support Shmuel. Let's take a look at this point in Rashi as well, toward the end of the narrow lines. Leimo Meseile Lishmuel, Amaimer Lazu, V'cholatz Lazu Koi. Our Mishnah is referring to that point, where Maimer was done with one widow, and the Chalitza, the shoe removal ceremony, was done with the other. Midolo Noka Chalitza Balas Amaimer, from the fact that the Mishnah seemed to have deliberately not given as an example Chalitza done with the Balas Maimer, Meseil Shmuel, this would seem to support Shmuel. The Omar Shmuel, who says Cholatz LeBalas Maimer Loi Niftarot Sarasiv, Chalitza was done with the Balas Maimer, it wouldn't have released the second widow. The Kevin de Boy Get LeMamoro, since a get is needed to undo the Maimer, Lohavio Chalitza Ma'aliusa Lafuke Zika de Chaverta, since a get is still required to undo the maimer, chalitza done with her wouldn't have been a high quality chalitza malyasa, enough to have broken the yibum connection, the zika, with the second widow. So as we said, Shmuel's point would seem to derive support from our Mishnah. What did Rav Yosef say? Well, Rashi quotes it. It's a Gemara that we've seen earlier in the Masechta. The Utiufta de Rav Yosef, Rashi says, the Omar b'Hachoylitz, that's the name of the Perek, Lo Yishpoich Odom Mei Boiroi V'Achirim Tzrichim Lohem. This is a phrase. A person shouldn't spill out good, fresh water from his well when others need that very water. The Ho-Hocha, the Cholatz L'Chaverta, the Komaisa by a get. In this case, he did chalitza with the other woman, with the non-Balas HaMaimer, while the Balas HaMaimer needs a get. Now, that Balas HaMaimer is going to be rendered unfit to the kahuna anyway, because a get is going to have to be given to her. Once a woman receives a get, that makes her unfit to the kahuna. The second widow, according to Rav Yosef, should not be the one dealt with. By doing chalitza with the second widow, you're making her unfit, prohibited to the kahuna as well. So that woman, until you do chalitza with her, that second widow, was fit for the kahuna. Now you're taking a woman that could have been married by a kohen, and you're ruining her. That's the analogy that was referred to earlier of don't spill out water when others can benefit from it. V'nimtza, Rashi goes on, v'nimtza poisel eshtein min kahuna. And you end up ruining both women from the kuna by following the pattern or the model of the Mishnah. And Rav Yosef would seem to hold otherwise. V'lo amrinon, and the Mishnah doesn't allow us to say, L'chloitz l'kamaisu te'chaverta, k'shera du chalitza with the first woman, the woman that received the maimer, the woman that's going to be puzzled to the kuna anyway, because you're going to have to give her a get, and let the second woman remain kosher to the kuna. Our Mishnah, once again, doesn't seem to confirm that. The Gemara responds and says that our Mishnah is not a refutation of Rav Yosef. Mi katani choletz. Does the Mishnah say that you are, as a first choice, supposed to do chalitza with the second widow? Cholatz katani. He happened to do chalitza with the second widow. Diavad. That's post facto. But as a first choice, in fact, you should follow Rav Yosef. That's what he would say. Namely, don't do chalitza with the second widow. You should choose as your first choice to do chalitza with the widow that had received maimer, that's going to need a get anyway. We continue. Get lizu. The get lizu. Srichois heimenu chalitza. You'll notice that we, in addition to writing that into the Gemara between the lines of Tzrichos Heimenu Chalitza, we've also dashed, underlined Tzrichos. Tzrichos is a plural word. Both need Chalitza then. So, if there were two widows that Reuven left upon his demise, and Shimon gave a get to widow one and widow number two, according to the Mishnah, women will need Chalitza. Lemo Mesele L'Rabo Baravuna. Let us say that this supports Rabbah's teaching. The Yoma Rabo Baravuna. Chalitza Psula Tzricha L'Chazer Al Kol Ha'achin. A weakened Chalitza. Again, I know that we've said this many times, but a chalitza psula is a weakened chalitza. That's a situation where chalitza is done with a yavama, one whom you could not have married. And when once a get is given to a yavama, you can't marry her anymore. In our case, a get was given to each one of the yavamas. So each one needs a separate chalitza, and that would seem to confirm Rabbah's teaching, where if a widow had been given a get, a woman who was, of course, was a yavama, received a get, in order for her to get released and allowed to marry anyone she wants, she would have to go to all of the surviving brothers in order to receive a heter lashuk. Let us take a look at the Rashi on the fourth line under the Gemara text. Tzrichois mashma chalitza l'chol achas. They came on the chalitza shtehen ruwa. As we explained before, if there were two widows that were left and each one received a get, so each widow is going to need her own chalitza. Since any one chalitza is weakened, ein achas mehen poteres chaverta. No one will release her friend, her co-widow. The Kotoni Seifa, and the Mishnah goes on to say, V'chein shnei yivmin liyavamo achas. The nosan zeh get, v'zeh get, if Reuven and Shimon survived, if Reuven was survived by Shimon and Levi, and Reuven left one widow, and Shimon gave that widow a get, and Levi gave her a get, Tzricho chalitza mishnem. She would need a chalitza from each one of them, from Shimon and Levi. Because any one chalitza is a chalitza psula, it's a weakened chalitza. So our Mishnah, by acknowledging that when confronted by a situation of a weakened chalitza, that subsequent chalitza that's done is not sufficient to release all of the widows, nor is it sufficient to have received chalitza from any one of the surviving brothers if it was a chalitza psula. So is it not so then that our Mishnah supports Rabbah's approach? The Gemara says no. My tzrichos, when the Mishnah uses the plural expression tzrichos, it's a generic type of tzrichos. Tzrichos de Alma. In other words, it's needed in general by the realm of Yevamos, namely that a get that is given to a chalitza, so that the world of women that received chalitzas, the world of Yevomis that received gittin, need to, in addition, receive chalitza. But it's a reference to the world of Yevomis, not necessarily a reflection on a case of a, say, multiple Yavam situation. We continue in the Gemara. Get lezu, v'cholatz lezu. A get was given to one Yavama, and chalitza done with a second Yavama. Lemo mesayale v'shmuel v'tevi tufta d'Rav Yosef. Once again, the Gemara is quite terse. In order to appreciate this, we look at the Rashi. We have a double star to help you find it. Hachi garsinon get lezu v'cholatz lezu lemo mesayale v'shmuel. Midolo nokat chalitza l'balas aget, from the fact that the Mishnah does not feature chalitza done with the woman that received the get. Elo lechaverta. The Mishnah speaks about chalitza done with the co-widow. Mesayle Shmuel. This would support Shmuel. The Amar Perak Dalet Achin. Chalatz lebas haget lo niftarat zara. That if you choose to do chalitza with the widow that received the get, that wouldn't release a co-wife when a co-widow is on the scene. So our Mishnah, by saying the get was given to one and chalitza was done with the other widow, the one that did not receive the get, this would seem to support Shmuel, because if the chalitza was done with the Baal Saget, it wouldn't release the other one. So here you have a case or a chance to do one chalitza to release both of them through the chalitza. So our Mishnah seems to support Shmuel on the one hand, and it seems to be against Rav Yosef, because of what we said earlier. In this case, you had given a get to one woman, according to Rav Yosef, who doesn't want you to ruin something that doesn't need to be ruined. In this case, we would not want to have the other woman passeled from the kuna, and therefore chalitza would be done with the balas haget. And yet our Mishnah doesn't say that. The Gemara responds, similar to the way we answered earlier, Mi kotani choyleitz. Does the Mishnah say that that's what you should do as a first choice, to do chalitza with the other widow, the non-balas haget, the widow that was kosher to the kahuna? Cholatz kotani. A cholatz is in the past tense, a post facto, which means di'avad, if it was done, so it's effective, but not as a first choice. And the reason for saying that would be because out of sensitivity to Rav Yosef's concern. Cholatz, v'cholatz, or cholatz v'chulei. This is from Nun Omid Beis, ten rows from the top of the Omid. The Mishnah went on to say, Ein achar chalitza klum. But before it got to that phrase, the Mishnah gave a series of examples, which you can find if you look back at Nun Amid Beis, the diamond number 4. Oboal, 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 v'osamaymer, nosenget, v'chotz. And the Mishnah, as we saw earlier, the Mishnah here too says Ein achar chalitza klum. It doesn't say Ein achar bioklum. So the Gemara asks, V'lisni nami Ein achar bioklum. Why not teach at this point that once bia is done, so nothing takes hold? Abaya v'Rava tonu Ein achar bioklum. Abaya and Rava have as their version of the Mishnah, in fact, Ein achar bioklum. And as we saw before in the Rashi, that would include Ein achar chalitza klum as well. It would appear to me that saying Ein achar bioklum would make for a smoother reading of the Mishnah, because that's the example that was given just before the rule of Ein Achar Bi'al Klum. Namely, example, the final example was Boal, Ubaal, etc. V'tana Didan, our Mishnah that chooses the expression of Ein Achar Chalitza Klum, HaToras Yevoma Lashuk Adifa Lei. It is of more importance to emphasize that instrument, namely the chalitza, which releases the yavama and enables her to marry whomever she wants. Bein yavam echad l'shtei yavamois, whether you're talking about a case of one surviving brother and two widows, and Mishnah went on to say bein shnei yivmin l'yavama achas, or a case of two men that survive, two brothers that survive, and one widow. Notice the new marking, the crown marking, with the tip, with the points facing upwards. They represent she'elos, beginning with the word bishlama, that things work out according to one opinion, but according to the second opinion, something needs to be clarified. And the inverted crown represents tshuvos, responses. This structure will continue on the top of Amud Beis as well. Bishlama the Rabbi Yochanan, the Omar Kula Beisa Belav Koi. Our Mishnah, in its terse fashion, covers quite a few different cases, different possibilities. Rabbi Yochanan had taught his principle quite a bit earlier in this Masichta, namely that if you have, let us say, multiple widows and multiple surviving brothers. Multiple widows from the one deceased brother. Reuven died leaving a few widows, and there are several brothers that survive. As far as the halacha is concerned, all that's necessary is chalitza to be done between one of the brothers and one of the widows, and that frees all the widows to marry Lashuk, and the other brothers don't have to do anything. According to Rabbi Yochanan, the man and woman that participate in the chalitza actually serve as agents of all the rest. And just like the chalutz and the chalutza, the chaletz and the chalutza, or the chalutz, the one from whom the shoe was removed, and the chalutza, the woman who was released, just like if they were, let us say, to cohabit with one another after they did chalitza with one another, they would be guilty of a lav, a negative command. Just like that is true with regard to them specifically, it is true with regard to all the other brothers and all the other widows. As we said before, that's a function of agency. And we say, shlucho shel adam kamoso, when I send you to do something on my behalf, it's as if I did it. So Rabbi Yochanan says the whole, we'll call it the whole household, as the Gemara says at the Kula Besa, all of them are now forbidden to the tune of a negative command. Negative command, as we've said many times in the past, is a lower level offense than other types of forbidden relations that are prohibited with a kores punishment or a court execution, misas beis din. Well, our Mishnah teaches that the laws apply, for example, Ein Achar Chalitza Klum, even when you're dealing with multiple widows and multiple brothers. That means, in effect, that if, let us say, Shimon had done Chalitza with widow number one, Levi, another of the surviving brothers, is also to widow number two, Belav. And what does our Mishnah say? Ein achar chalitza klum? That if that Levi would give money to widow number two after Shimon had done chalitza with widow number one, nothing takes effect. Which in halachic terms is we're saying ein kiddushin toifsin b'chai ve'lavin. The Gemara will spell that out. So that information is important. That's something that we happen to know is a machlokes tanoim, and it happens to be according to Rabbi Akiva, who's we'll call it a minority opinion. But we have a Stam Mishnah, an unnamed, naming no authority in the Mishnah, unnamed Mishnah, coming out like Rabbi Akiva. That all of that is information, is novel information. It's something I wouldn't have known had it not been stated. In contrast to Rabbi Yochanan, there is Reish Lakish, who holds that as far as a lav prohibition, negative command, between man and woman in this scenario, that is true only with regard to the choletz and the chalutza. In our example, Shimon and widow number one. However, Levi and widow number two are an isur kores. Why? Basically, it's an isur eshes ach. The widow number two was the wife of Levi's brother, namely Reuven, the deceased. And for Levi to engage in intimacy with her, with widow number two, that would be a violation of kores. And kores is like a brother and sister. Imagine a brother trying to give money in marriage of a sister. Nothing takes hold. So to here, nothing takes... Our Mishnah is telling us nothing takes hold between the other Yivmen and the other widows. That's obvious. In fact, the only case of lav, as far as Reish Lakish is concerned, is between the choletz and the chalutza themselves. But the choletz and one of the co-widows, or one of the other brothers and the chalutza, those are bekores. Why does the Mishnah, according to Reish Lakish, have to tell me that if there are two widows and one yavam, or two surviving brothers in one Yavama, that there is that the maimer done after the chalitza doesn't take effect? That's poshit. So now what we just did is we spelled out all of the information in the Gemara. Let's read it in the text. I understand, according to Rabbi Yochanan, who says the whole household, all the widows and all the surviving brothers with one another would be be'isur lav. Once chalitza was done with one of the brothers and one of the widows, all the rest follows suit in the sense that they all become the same level prohibition. So it's derech lashminen, therefore the Mishnah has to teach me the scenario of one of the other brothers, let us say, giving maimer to her, to the chalitza, and saying, ein achar chalitza klum, the maimer is not tofes, the maimer doesn't take effect. And the chiddush is the ein kiddushin toifsin b'chayve lavin, that kiddushin, the marital bond, does not take effect when you're dealing with even a low level prohibition like an isur lav, and you have a stam mishnah coming out like Rabbi Akiva. All of that is information that I wouldn't have thought of on my own. But according to Reish Lakish, that says that outside of the very couple, in our case, Shimon that did chalitza with widow number one, all the rest of the combinations are bekores. It's derech lashmein and dein kedushin toifsin b'chayvei krisus. Do I need the Mishnah to spell out with its examples that? But by saying ein achar chalitza klum, you're saying that maimer done by one of the other brothers with that widow, or that choletz doing maimer with one of the other widows, that nothing takes effect. That's poshut according to everybody. So do you have to tell me that the kedushin is not teifes b'chayvei krisus? That's a question on Reish Lakish. By Reish Lakish having ruled that only the choletz and chalutza are be'isur lav and all the rest are kore, so he runs into this problem that our Mishnah seems to be telling me something that's too obvious. Omar loch Reish Lakish, v'mitameich. So Reish Lakish says, if you're asking on me from that particular point of ein achar chalitza klum, that maimer done after chalitza doesn't have any, doesn't take effect, is it not so that the Mishnah also says the following? And by the way, note that we have a long answer marking here. So Rish Lakish says, according to you, that the Mishnah is supposedly not to teach us obvious points, Seifa de Katani. The Seifa teaches Bo Avi Osa Maimer. If, let us say, you had Reuven and Shimon, that and Levi. Reuven died, leaving a widow, survived by two brothers. Shimon does Biyah. Biyah is actual Yibum with the widow. And then Levi comes and gives her Kesef Kedoshin. Is Levi's money given to her in marriage going to have any effect? Absolutely not. Shimon did Biyah. It says in the words of the Mishnah, quoted right here, Boal, that Shimon did Biyah with the widow, and the Asa, and then the second one comes and does Maimer. Istrich Lashmina Dein Kedushin Taifsin Beyeshes Ish. Do I need a Mishnah to tell me that there's no Tfisis Kedushin, that marriage does not take hold with a married woman? Of course that's superfluous. Why then does the Mishnah teach that? Once the Mishnah teaches us the rules of one Yavam, Shimon, who survives his deceased brother Reuven, and Reuven leaving Yavam Achas, one widow, the Mishnah taught us all the laws that apply to that case. Tonanami, it feels important to teach us also Shtei Yavamas V'Yavam Echad, the case of one surviving brother and two widows. The Aidi Tona Shtei Yavamas V'Yavam Echad, and since it teaches that case, Tona Nami Shtei Yivmin V'Yavam Achas, it teaches me also the case of two surviving brothers and one widow, when in fact there isn't necessarily any Chidush in all of that additional information, but rather, the Mishnah spells out all the different possibilities. We continue at the top of Amud Beis. This, too, is a quote from the Mishnah Daf Nun Amud Beis, involving a one Yavam and one Yavama, Cholatz, V'Osa Maimer, V'Nosan, V'Chulei, Bishlamo, Cholatz, V'Osa Maimer. It's important, it's necessary to teach a case where chalitza was done, and then after chalitza, the singular yavam, the sole surviving brother, that is Shimon, then gives her money. Our Mishnah goes on to tell us that ein achar chalitza klum, that after the chalitza was done, the money that he gives her doesn't take any effect. Itzrich, that needs to be taught. Namely, that it's not of any halachic consequence. It's nothing. Sakadei techamina, I would have thought, nixar maimer debosar chalitza, let us impose rabbinically the need for a get to undo the maimer that was done after the chalitza, otu maimer dekami chalitza, in anticipation of a case where maimer was done before the chalitza. Now, in a case where maimer is done before the chalitza, that maimer, may ikir hadin, on principle, requires a get. Now, these two cases have the same words, it's just the order is reversed. In other words, the same events take place, but in reverse order. So, in one case, we tell you that if you do chalitza first and then maimer, you don't have to do anything. It's important for the Mishnah to tell me you don't have to do anything about that maimer, because I might have thought that I should require a get there in anticipation of a case where you really do need a get, where the maimer was done before the chalitza. So let's read that in the words again. Sakatei techamino nigzor maimer de boser chalitza atun maimer de kami chalitza. Require a get in a case of Maimer after the Chalitza, in anticipation of the case of Maimer before Chalitza, which needs a get. Komash Malon, Delo Gazrin, on our Mishnah, by saying after Chalitza, whatever is done, nothing takes hold, I'm telling you that we don't make that Gezerah. We don't impose that additional requirement. Ella. But the example of the Mishnah, where it said he did chalitza, the Yavam did chalitza with the Yavama, and then he gives her a divorce document. Lomali, what do I have to teach me regarding that? that ein achar chalitza klum, it's obvious. Once you release the avoma, giving her a get doesn't have any meaning, doesn't do anything, it doesn't change any status. The Gemara responses, ulitameh, according to you that are asking a question based on something that's seemingly obvious or superfluous, emo seifa, state the case in the seifa. Boal also mimer, one yavam and one yavama. Shimon does biah with her. In other words, he marries, he does yibum with the widow, and then he gives her money. Boal v'nosan get, or he did biah and then gave her a divorce document. Bishlama boal v'nosan get itzdrich. I understand the case or the necessity of teaching where biah was done and then he gave her a get, that we say einachar biah klum, meaning that after he marries her and then he gives her a get, which in effect would be divorcing his wife, he doesn't need to do anything else. All that's needed to sever that relationship is a divorce document, and you don't need to have chalitza. In other words, once a yavam marries the avama, it becomes his full-fledged wife, and any zika connection, any zikas yivmin, was erased, turning into a husband-wife bond and relationship. So all that's necessary is the giving of the get, and nothing else. No chalitza is necessary. Salka daita chamina, without that being taught, I would have thought, Nigzar, let us impose a ruling that the get should not be enough. You should need chalitza as well, and make a gzir of get the boser bila or to get the kami bila, in anticipation of a case where a get were given before the bia, so that if Shimon gave the widow a get and then he did bia with her, that bia would not create a full fledged husband wife relationship. And as a result of that, the Yibum identity remains. And in order to undo that, you do need to have Chalitza. So that once again, where you see order of things being reversed, in the case of Boav and Nosan Get, we say you don't need to have Chalitza, though there was room to think that you should say, yeah, let's require Chalitza there, in anticipation of them reversing the order of first doing giving again and then doing bia. Let's read that in the words: Sakadei techamina nigzor get the boser beila, or to get the kami beila. Let's impose the need for chalitza in the case of a get that followed bila, in anticipation of the case where you really do need chalitza, where get was a get was given first and then bia was done. Komashmulam delo gazrina. So we're telling you by saying ein achar chalitza klum that we don't impose that gezera. Avol bo'al v'asa maimer lomali. Why does the Mishnah bother teaching me a case where someone, where the yavam did bia and then he gave her money? That's his wife. He's giving his wife money. What is the point of teaching me that that maimer has no halachic significance? Elo aidi detona cholatz v'asa maimer. Since the Mishnah taught the case of first he did chalitza and then he gave her money, and that had important, that was a value that needed, we taught that in order to convey the point that we say ein achar chalitza klum, that there's no kedushin tefsin b'chayvei lavin. So therefore tana nami bo'al v'asa maimer. It also gave a case where, just like we had maimer following, please, we give you an example of maimer following bia, which in fact has no chidush value to it, as we said. The Aidi de boy the Mishnah boav v'nosan get, and since the Mishnah had to teach the case of bia and then giving a get, where we said you don't need to have chalitza after that, taught, and that, in other words, boav v'nosan get was important, it taught me also something that was superfluous. Tonanami cholatz v'nosan get, where he released her and then gave her a get, which was meaningless. So that if you were asking on me originally, or asking the question of why did the Mishnah teach cholatz v'nosan get, the answer is for the sake of balance of language, just like we proved from the case of Boav v'asa maimer. The Gemara continues with a reference to the Mishnah on Daf Nun Amud Beis 4 lines from the end of the Mishnah. Bisman Shehi. And if we go back to see what it said there, Mishnah had said that there's a distinction between Chalitza versus Bia. That after Chalitza, nothing takes hold wherever the Chalitza appears in the order of different actions. Bia, on the other hand, we will tell you, Einachar Bia Klum, if Bia is in the first position. But if Bia is, let's say, Bia follows a get, or it follows Chalitza, so then we say Yesh Achar Bia Klum. Masnisen Delo Ki Haitana. Our Mishnah is not in accordance with the following Tana. So let's continue reading what the following Tana says and then see how our Mishnah is not like that. But actually, before we read the text, we should glance at the side where we have a Nosei Mivneh heading. The Mivneh introduces a double underline that will appear shortly. They highlight Shitois Tanoim in Yesh Ligzar, the Bia Psula, the Chalitza Psula, Lomar Shiesh Acharei Klum. The different Tanoim that look into the matter of Bia Psula and Chalitza Psula. Bia Psula is a case where the Bia that's done is not effective in creating a Yibo marriage. Chalitza Psula is a situation where the Chalitza was done with a woman that at that point you couldn't have actually married her. Does that leave room for other things to take effect after them? Our Mishnah said that there's a difference between Chalitza and Bia. That in the case of a Chalitza Psula, in fact, nothing takes hold. When the case of a Bia Psula, things will take hold afterwards. So our Mishnah, and by the way, take note of the fact that this is one long point. Masnisen Delo Ki Hai Tana. Our Mishnah is not like the following Tana. Desanya. Abu Yosi ben Yoichanan Yishur Shalayim Oimer Mishum Rabbi Meir. So Abu Yosi, quoting Rabbi Meir, says, Achas Bi'ila, the Achas Chalitza. And we dashed underline Chalitza. B'tchilo Ein Achra Klum. When they are in the first position, so then any subsequent action done will not have any effect. Be'emso besof yesh acharei klum. In the middle, in other words, if something preceded, not only Bia, but Chalitza as well, or if they came at the end, there is room for other actions to take hold. This is in stark contrast to our Mishnah that said that ein achar Chalitza klum, even if it's not in the first position. V'shalosh machloikis badover. There are three different Tanaic opinions regarding this matter. There's a Rashi across from here, a little bit up. It says, V'shalosh machloikis badover, Tanakama, demasnisin domar, chalitza psula, ein achra klum, avobia psula, yesh achra klum. That's one opinion. And then we'll see, Rabbi Nechemya is another opinion, domar, achazu v'achazu, ein achra klum. Rabbi Nechemya says that even a Bia Psula, ein acharak, nothing will take effect after it. And Vabu Yosi ben Chonon, diomar achazu v'achazu, yesh acharei klum, behemsa besof. So now we continue in the Gemara. Sholosh machloikis bedover. Tanakama sovar. The Tanakama means the Tanakama of our Mishnah that said, Bia Psula, yesh acharei klum, Bia Deika lemigzar gazrinan. In the case of Bia, where there is room for imposing gzeros, as was featured on Daf Nun Amud Beis, 7 lines from the end of the Gemara. The Gemara spelled that out. We're not going to redo all of the Gemara regarding this matter, but suffice it to say that with regard to Bi'ila, there is room for imposing a gzera, restrictions, or additional limitations. And hence, if Bia comes out in the middle, then an action can take hold after that. And that's a function of there's room for making a gzera. Chalitza, on the other hand, the lekot lemigzar, with regard to chalitza psula, we can say with confidence, ein achra klum, because there's no other case that we have to, in anticipation of whom we have to worry. This was explained on Daf Nun Amud Beis, five lines from the end of the Gemara. And therefore, lo gazrinan. And therefore, we can, the Tanakam of our Mishnah says, the Tana of our Mishnah holds, ein achar chalitza klum, bein b'emsa, bein b'chila, bein b'emsa, bein b'sof. Rabbi Nechemia Sovar. Rabbi Nechemia is of the opinion that both Bia and Chalitza ein achreim klum, Bia nami leko lemigzar. As far as Bia, there isn't something to worry about. With the Ko Amris, you raised as a possibility, Ligzor Bia achar haget, Mishum Bia achar Chalitza, that we should say that bia done after the get is viewed as weak. So, and creating the impression in the minds of the public that it's not a real bia in anticipation of someone who would dare to do bia after chalitza. Bia after chalitza is something that's absolutely forbidden. It's strictly forbidden. Midoraisa is forbidden. So that maybe, in order to show the, we'll say, the meaninglessness and hence the prohibition of it, if it were to follow Chalitza, let us say that Bio Achar Get, we should say that something could still take effect which would show how insignificant that Bio is. So Reb Nechemi will tell you there's no need to impose such a gzerah. Kevon de chalitza de raisa, since it's known that chalitza not only releases the woman, but it's something that releases her on a Torah level and creates an isur with the surviving brothers. May the yadi, people know that, and they won't. If once chalitza is done, people aren't going to come to do bia after that. So therefore, since that doesn't need to be that's not a law that needs to be protected, therefore we don't have to tell you that bia that follows a get, that something else could take hold simply because of our concern of bia achar chalitza. Bia achar chalitza isn't going to really come to be. Uda ko amris ligzor bia achar maimer, and you might say that let's make a gzera concerning bio achar maimer mishum bio achar bio, that's not something to make a gzera about. Kevon de bio doraisa, since bio takes effect midoraisa. And by the way, the case of bio achar maimer, that would be a case where first money was given and bio was done. To say that bia is weak in anticipation of a case of bia achar bia, since bia is the raisa, that means it creates a bond on a Torah level. The widow becomes fully married to the yavam that did bia with her. This, any subsequent bia isn't going to take place. It's an isur the raisa. It would be intimacy with a married woman. So ha me de yadi idi. It's something that's well known, and therefore, to suggest that that bio achar maimer, when maimer is done first and then it's followed by bio, that we have to tell you that something could take effect in anticipation of this case of bio achar bio, that's unnecessary. Just to clarify this last example of bio achar maimer, let us go back. I hope you have the ability to either turn back or click on Daf Nun Amud Beis, where Rashi explains this very clearly. Rashi, that we'd like to learn together, six lines from the end of Nun Amud Beis. Bio achar maimer hi kagon maimer lezu ba lezu. If Shimon gave money to widow number one, and then he had intimacy with widow number two, lochitnan Srichos Shnei Gitin B'chalitza. The Mishnah taught, that's our Mishnah, it's not Rabbi Nechemia, but our Mishnah says you need to have two Gitin plus Chalitza. The Amris beget Saki law, if you were to say that get would be enough, Amri, people will come to say, once again, that if you say that a get would be enough, and that you don't need Chalitza, people will think, Amri bios shelzu, achar kinyin shelzu mal yusahi. They'll think that the biop done with the second woman after a kinyan done with the first woman is effective. People will then come to think that you could do biop achar biop, that if Shimon having done biop with the first widow could do biop with the second widow. The kopoga beisur eishes ach, and that would be a severe violation of eishes ach, of having, of cohabiting with one's brother's wife. Rabbi Nechemia is not worried about that. And the third, final opinion, the Abu Yossi ben Chonon Sovar law, Kirabonon de Gazri Bibio. Abu Yossi holds like the Rabbonon of our Mishnah that do impose a gzeira concerning Bio Psula, saying Yesh Acharel Klum. The Gozar Chalitza Mishum Bio, and he then says that we're going to make a gzera regarding Chalitz Psula as well, in anticipation of the case of Bio Psula. As you can see, with that we come to the conclusion of the fifth perek of Yevamos, and now begin the Mishnah of the sixth perek. Before we begin, let us read the topic heading. Bias yibum lo tzorich kavona kedei liknos. The intimacy done between the surviving brother and the deceased's widow doesn't need to have specific intent in order for it to take hold. Now let us read the Mishnah. Habo al Yevimto. A surviving brother has intimacy with the widow of his deceased brother, who left no children. Bein b'shoigeg, bein b'mezid, bein b'oynis, bein b'rotzayn. Whether it be through any of these different mindsets. B'shoigeg is something that's unintentional. Namely, he thought that the woman was his wife. In other words, Shimon survived his deceased brother, Reuven. Shimon had his own wife. He thought that he was cohabiting with her, and it turned out to be the widow of Reuven. Bemezid, Rashi says, l'shem znus. A znus is harlotry. We'll refer to it maybe by the term immorality. So that he had no mitzvah intention. He knew who she was, but he intended to cohabit with her just for the fun of it, for the sake of having a fling. The case of Oinus, that will be discussed in the Gemara. And Baratzon is, he knows what he's doing. All of those cases, Afilu hu shogeg v'hi mezida, even a case where he is shogeg, so he doesn't have yibum intention, he thinks it's his wife. She has immoral thoughts on mine. Who mazed v'hi shogegas, or the other way around. He is doing it l'shem's nus, and she thinks that it's someone that's mutter for her to be with. Who onus v'hi lo anusa. He is onus, which we haven't explained yet, and she is not. Or the other way around. He anusa, v'hu lo onus. All of these cases, we say the yibum marriage is achieved. Echon ha-ma'ara ve'echon ha-goymer kona. Whether it be ma'ara. Now ma'ara is a situation of male organ contact with the woman. How, to what degree, we can't commit ourselves right now because there are different opinions of what ha-ra is. What, whether it be, we'll call it partial connection, or gomer, that's a more complete form of, let's say, organ insertion, kona, the bond is formed. V'lo chilek bein bia l'bia. There's a Rashi adds bein bia l'bia, bein bia kedarka l'shelo kedarka uvein hara l'gmar bia. There is bia kedarka, which is where the couple, the man and woman, cohabit in the normal fashion through, we'll say, the orifice of reproduction. And the shelo kedarka is where the man has cohabits with her, but not through the normal way, but through the, we'll say, the other orifice. V'chein habo al achas mikol ho'arayis shebetura opsulos. The standards that we've just laid down for the consummation of a yibum marriage, the same standards we will say apply to prohibited relations. That when a, let's say, brother and sister, for example, would, let's say, cohabit in this partial fashion or this unusual fashion, that would be considered a full-fledged violation of the Torah law, and they would be chayav kores. And if it's a case of father and daughter, or mother and son, that would lead to court execution. Psulos, those are women that are unfit to the kahuna. Kagon, almona l'kohen gadol, gnushav chalutza kohen hedyo. Those are two examples that are kohen related. A widow cannot marry, cannot cohabit with a kohen gadol, and likewise a grusha, a divorcee or a chalutza, with a standard kohen. Mamzeres unesina l'Yisrael, by a mamzeres, an illegitimate a woman, or a descendant from the nesinim, a people that, let's say, falsely joined the Jewish ranks, and a Jewish man, or the other way around, a female, regular kosher Jewess with a male mamzer or nusin. Pasla, that will render her unfit. Velo chilek bein bia l'bia, and no distinction is made between the different types of bia that we described. Now, this idea is explained a little further in Rashi. Mamzeres unesina lav apsulu kunakoi. The case of mamzeres unesina featured in Mishnah are not illustrations of women that are posel to the kahuna. Daha potsula. The kaima, they're already possible. It's not a function of their having had a forbidden relationship and thereby becoming possible. They're already possible. And there's no ramifications here with regard to truma from their father's household that they would become unfit for. Viod bias kosher my megarola. This was the issue of mamzer with a bas Yisrael, or a mamzeres with a with Yisrael, is featured in Mishnah because of the issue of this partial contact. With a milki ole ha Yisrael behara kigmar via. The point of the Mishnah in featuring these cases was to show that even for partial insertion or partial contact, lashes will be given because of the violation of the negative command involved, as if it were a full-fledged act of intimacy. The Gemara opens with a question regarding a term seen in the Mishnah. On the second line of the Mishnah, it said, "Afilu, even if afilu hu shogeg v'hi mezida." My afilu. What is the Mishnah accomplishing by saying even? Where he is unwitting and she has harlotrous intentions. Gemara explains, lo mibaya komar. The structure of the Mishnah is in the lo mibaya sense. Lo mibaya means I don't have to tell you this, but even something else. Lo mibaya, the answer lasts a number of lines. As you can see, we've marked it accordingly. Lo mibaya hu shoge v'hi ko mechavno lemitzvah. I don't have to tell you about that, that the bond would take hold where he was unwitting, but she had yibum mitzvah intention. that if that was their, we'll say, level of cohabitation, that the bond takes place, that there's a fulfillment of the libum requirement. Hinami, who mays it, v'hikom mechav l'mitzvah, or he has harlotrous intentions, but she has mitzvah intentions. Elo afilu, hu shogeg v'him azidah, and here's where the afilu comes into play, even where on both sides there is no mitzvah intention. Where he thinks it's a some other woman, and she has harlotrous intentions. Another case of who meizid v'hi shogeges, the travayu lo komechavni l'shemes, where neither one, the man nor the woman, have mitzvah intentions. Afilu hachikona, even so, the yibum bond has been fulfilled. It takes hold, and they become husband and wife. We should emphasize the difference between a yibum bond and a simple case of man-woman that meet one another out in the street that are not related to one another. When you're dealing with the yibum bond, there's already, in halachic terms or in halachic thinking, there's already a partial connection, a partial bonding that has already taken place. By the mere fact that one has a brother, the brother's wife, in the event that there are no children, the Torah already imposes a bond, so that to concretize it, to complete it, even this low-level type relation, physical intimacy, would clinch it. This is in contrast to two strangers, man meets woman, where there's no previous connection that exists. This kind of low-level, unintentional act of intimacy would not create a marital status. We continue in the Gemara. Toni Rabbi Chia. Afilu shneim shegigim, shneim mezidim, shneim anusim. Even if both are in this, we'll call, low-level mindset position, they bond. On the side of the Gemara, we have a nosei mivneh heading, a topic heading with a structural note. You'll notice triangles appear. These are arbishlovim levarer mahu oines. Aboa yivimtav oines. What does that mean, oines? Oines is generally thought to be something that is beyond your control. So what does it mean to have intimacy in an oines fashion? The Gemara. Ones de masnisin hechidami. Ones cited in the Mishnah. What is meant by it? Ilema kishansu oivde kichavim ubo aleha. That idol worshippers overpowered some man, a brother who survived his deceased brother who left no kids, and they overpowered him and pushed him upon her, on the widow. That is not a case of onus, though. It's true they overpowered him. However, for the actual male insertion, the Omar Rava ain onus le'erva. The concept of onus doesn't apply when you're dealing with forbidden relations. L'fi she'ein kishui el ladas, because the man, in order to effectively have insertion, he has to experience kishui. Kishui means hardening or erection, and that does not happen unless there is intent. Intent is not onus. So that even if he's physically being restrained or overpowered by the idol worshippers, there is the actual act for it to take place needs the man's awareness and intent to be present. So that's not onus. That's not something we call beyond your control. Ela biyoshin. Rashi says shemiskashik shiyoshin. It happens that people experience kishui aver when they are asleep. So maybe that's what happened, that he was asleep and achieved the kishui that's necessary for the physical insertion, and it happened with him and her while he was asleep. Well, that's not a good pshat either. V'omar Rav Yehuda,
We continue at the top of the Nun Dalet Omen Aleph. Yoshein loy kanabi vimtel. In the state of sleep, that actually does not create a yibum bond, or it doesn't complete the marriage. Rashi at the top says, Yoshein lo kono, the Yoshein lav bar das, velohavi kinyono kinyon. He's not capable of awareness when he's sleeping, and therefore his action, his acquisition, or his action is not considered effective. Ela, third approach, be niskan. Rashi says, on the top, v'niskash, niskash elishto, he intended to be with his wife in intimacy. And he achieved kishui with wife intention, with his own wife. We're talking about Shimon, who's the surviving brother, has his own wife. So he intended to be with her. V'nofa min agag, v'niska v'yivinton, sounds almost unrealistic, but the Gemara deals with all topics, even those which appear to be unrealistic. They have halachic ramifications when you wouldn't even think of applying it. So we have to take this seriously, where he achieved tishui with the intention of being with his wife, fell off a roof, and landed in an intimate position with the Yavama. So is that what oinus means? V'ho omar rabo, nofal min hagag, v'niska, chayav v'arba dvorim, uv'yivimtoi loy kona. If a man falls off a roof and ends up in an intimate position with some woman, so he would be guilty of compensating her for the four different types of, we'll call it, damage payments. And they are by name, and they're featured in the Maseches Bava Kama, Nezek, Tzar, Ripui, and Sheves. Physical damage, pain, any medical expenses, and the unemployment. Those are just the literal translations of the four different forms of compensation that need to be made. Maseches Bava Kama deals with them at much greater length. So if one is in, was Nofa min agag v'niska, so by way of tort law, he must offer compensation. However, we dashed underline the main point, uv'yavimtoi loy kona, but that would not acquire in the case of a yibum marriage. So that if it happened to be his yavama walking on street level and his falling upon her in a state of kishui and creating a physical act of cohabitation, it wouldn't, though, acquire. And we're taught in our Mishnah that a bond of ones, under ones circumstances, does acquire. So what do we mean by ones? It's not this case. Ela, kugoin, shiniskavein liishtoi, v'takfosa yivimtoi, ubo oleo. It's a case where a man, in this case the Yavam, had his own wife, and he intended to be to cohabit with his own wife, and his sister-in-law, the widow of his deceased brother who left no children, she was some type of, we'll say, tough individual, and she overpowered him and brought him, while he was already in a state of kishuim, brought him upon her, so he was oines. We continue in the Gemara. This is now a quote from the source we saw in the, taught by Rabbi Chiya. Shnehem anusim debei Rabbi Chiya heichidomi. How can you illustrate a case of both of them being oines that Rabbi Chiya had taught in his source? There's a little star at the side indicating Nun Gimel Amud Beis. You can find where that quote comes from. Kegoin shenisgavein lishto. Imagine a man, the Yavam, who had intention to be with his wife, and he achieved kishui in anticipation of being with his wife, and at that point, idol worshippers grabbed hold of him, and they took overpowered him, and they had control of the widow, Reuven's widow, the widow of his deceased brother, and they pushed them, inserted him into her, again, against their will, overpowering them. Hence, they can both be described as oines. Before we conclude, let us remind you that if you wish to be in touch with us in order to access marked Gemaras, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.